This is Kelly Blewett. I'm joined tonight by Dawn Raffel, a journalist, memoirist, and short story writer. Her latest book is The Strange Case of Dr. Cooney. Welcome, Dawn.
Hi, thanks.
So you call Dr. Martin Cooney, and I quote, a Coney Island showman. So my question to kind of get us into this topic is, how did he get to Coney Island and what was his show?
So the real way Martin Cooney got to Coney Island was because he came here, steerage class, when he was 18 years old. What he said was that he was educated in Leipzig and Berlin and that he was the protege of a famous French doctor. This was not true, but he was decades ahead of the medical profession. So what happened is the incubator as we know it was invented by an engineer in France in the late 1900s. And this engineer was sort of claiming, oh, this works almost automatically. And showmen almost immediately got in on the act of showing these tiny babies in incubators because the public was absolutely fascinated. So you had everybody from Barnum and Bailey showing these incubators, the London Royal Aquarium. Most of them got out of the business really quickly because this was an awful lot of work. This was not a toaster oven. He was the one who really stayed with it, and he sort of planted himself on Coney Island and Atlantic City. He was at most World Fairs. He had phenomenal nurses, and he offered the best care in the country for these children.
And you write that between 1898 and 1943, Dr. Cooney saved some 6,500 American babies in these incubator sideshows.
Yes, that's correct.
Just a tremendous number of babies. And I thought it would be kind of interesting to share. In the sideshow, he had this nurse who she identified as French or presented herself as French. And she would get out her diamond ring, hold up one of these preemies' arms, and just let the ring drop down the arm.
Yeah, so she was certainly very happy to be a show woman in that way, but she really was French, and she was a phenomenal nurse, and she was absolutely extraordinary at taking care of these children. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest problems you have in keeping preemies alive is not just the heat, which you get from the incubator, but also feeding these babies. And she would be able to feed these babies a tiny, tiny drop at a time. There's even some film footage of her, and this is something watching her do this caused a room full of leading neonatologists to just gasp when they saw it, because she was extraordinarily skillful.
And sometimes they would put those drops not in the baby's mouth, but in the baby's nose?
Yes. Yeah, they would do it in the baby's nose. And that's really, really hard. You know, a big problem with these babies was how to feed them so they don't choke. These are babies that don't even have a swallowing reflex. And This was another reason that preemies had such a high mortality rate. And she knew how to get around it.
So we have Dr. Cooney doing a sideshow in Atlantic City. And I wondered if you could tell us kind of how hospitals got these preemies that were born in hospitals to him. You know, how did they know that he was there? What was the sort of stream of the babies, if you will?
Oh, well, they definitely knew he was there because they were sending him to the sideshow. So he was well known in his day. His exhibit was very, very popular. The press loved him. He enjoyed giving interviews. So in Atlantic City, literally, they had an ambulance that would go straight from the hospital right to the boardwalk. He was right out there, and that's who they had to take care of their preemies. And in New York City, too, all of the major New York hospitals, if a baby was really small, and we're talking now 2 pounds, is barely viable now, some of them under 2 pounds, the doctors would say, we don't have the resources at this hospital to save your child. If you want your child to live, you need to get to Coney Island. And Cooney had an ambulance, and he would go pick them up.
And he's just this really interesting figure because on the one hand, he's really a huckster in this old American tradition of the huckster. I mean, it's like he's just checking all of those boxes. But then he's also kind of a saint in another way. I mean, he cared about these kids. All the kids were welcome regardless of race, gender, class. So I wondered if you could kind of talk a little bit about the contradictions inherent in Cooney and when he was sort of found out as being a huckster, because it's a pretty remarkable story that you relay in the book.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I found the story so fascinating was that he did have some conflicting impulses. But I would have to say probably he didn't see a conflict between altruism and self-interest. you know, so he was making a lot of money, but he really cared about these children, and he was saving lives when other people weren't going to do it. I think there were very mixed feelings about him all along, especially in the medical community where, you know, some of the sideshow tactics really made them cringe, but they also knew that he was saving these children. It wasn't found out that he wasn't a real doctor until now. You know, that was part of what I was doing with this research. There was a group of leading neonatologists in the late 20th century who were trying to get to the bottom of this, and they pretty well suspected that now he wasn't a real doctor. But, you know, it was a way of just really finding out, well, wait a minute, when did he really come to this country, and how did he not have a medical license? And he was here when he said he was in medical school. So that piece of it really wasn't known during his lifetime.
Can you tell us a little bit about the short-term and long-term impact of Dr. Cooney's work? It seems like the babies that he saved, some of them are still alive, but he also had an impact on physicians who were beginning to study neonatology.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you would call the short-term would be all those people who he saved. So long-term, in particular, he had an extraordinary friendship with a Chicago physician named Julius Hess. Julius Hess was a real doctor and had a real hospital affiliation. He was inspired by Dr. Cooney and learned a lot from him. They were great friends. Hess is widely regarded as the clinical father of American neonatology, but a lot of his ideas started with Martin Cooney, and at the 1933 World's Fair in Chicago, Hess really was instrumental in helping Cooney put this sideshow on the midway. They sent all the babies from the hospital to the midway, and then they did a national radio show that got a lot of attention. The point was to show these millions of visitors that this care was available and these babies could be saved. And right after that World's Fair closed, Chicago got the first comprehensive public health care policy in the country for preemies, which eventually became a model for the rest of the country. So Cooney liked to say he was making propaganda for preemies, and he was.
And he had a few slogans that I think kind of embody the sort of saintliness and appeal of him, but also you see that sideshow. It wasn't one of the things he said was, everybody loves a baby.
Yeah, all the world loves a baby, written at the door of every show. But, you know, it was true. When they were dolled up this way, they were adorable. There were people who would come to Coney Island every single week as if this was a reality show. They'd have a favorite baby they were rooting for, and they'd go visit that baby every week. And if that baby went home, then they'd find another baby.
So tell us a little bit, just kind of panning back to the book, The Strange Case of Dr. Cooney. What is it like as a reading experience? How do you sort of present the information? What can someone expect if they're going to go and dive into this narrative history?
Yeah, I really wanted to show the reader what was going on during Dr. Cooney's lifetime and kind of give you a little tour of what the culture of the Midway was like at that time, because things that were going on at Coney Island and Atlantic City were kind of eye-popping. So there's that element, but then I also take you into things that happened after Cooney's death when the leading neonatologists were trying to understand who he was, and I sort of show you how Cooney was finally revealed for who he was, and it also introduces you to some of the babies who are still alive. So it isn't a strictly chronological account, because that started to feel too much, like now there was this World's Fair, now there was this one, now there was this one. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would give the reader a better understanding and more texture if I also tried to show how this story reaches into the present time.
I felt reading the book that there was a sort of cinematic quality to it. You're in the midst of one scene and it's fully and lushly described, and then we sort of switch gears to another kind of picture that both talks back to the first scene and gives us a little bit more context or picture of how things developed in a kind of different frame of reference. So I found it to be a really enjoyable read, and I didn't know anything about Martin Cooney, so thank you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I wanted to really draw a portrait, and I had a background as a fiction writer. I knew absolutely everything in this book had to be supported by fact and by research, and it's all documented in the back, but I wanted the reader to have a kind of novelistic experience.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you, Dawn. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
I've been talking with author Dawn Raffel about her new book, The Strange Case of Dr. Cooney. More information on this title can be found on our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Kelly Blewett.